went into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions. And so he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here and stand before us." He rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We begin a rather extraordinary week in which there's going to be a concerted focus. On Thursday, we will have the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. On Friday, we will mark Our Lady's participation in the cruciform life of her Son with the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Today, we mark the 16th anniversary of the terrible evil of 9/11 and the good that triumphed over that evil in the hearts of so many. And we'll have readings that are going to focus very much on the opposition that was mounting to Christ and the reasons for that opposition, and the message that we're supposed to receive from all of this is essentially the importance of Jesus' cross, spes unica, our only hope, and the importance of our seeing the cross not as a curse but as a caress, not as a punishment but as a privilege. Today's readings help us to enter in the first steps of that mystery this week. Jesus is in the synagogue on a Sabbath, teaching. And the same Pharisees who were spying on him that we noticed on Saturday, as they, rather than doing something else on the Sabbath, were tailing Jesus and then accusing him and his disciples of actually eating on the Sabbath because they were so hungry that they actually had to eat just straight grain off of what they plucked in the field. After that, they came into the synagogue, and as Jesus was teaching, saw a man there with that withered hand, a hand that had been crushed. St. Luke uses a medical term to say it wasn't born withered. It had been seriously injured. There's an apocryphal gospel that describes the scene who says that the man had been a mason who had lost his capacity to work, support his family. Regardless, the man had a hand that no longer functioned. It was a Sabbath day. And out of love for this man, and out of love for the Pharisees to bring them conversion, Jesus was going to show the real meaning of the Sabbath. And he asked, as these very people were plotting on the Sabbath day to break the fifth commandment and murder Jesus, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Is it an offense to God to try to save life on the Sabbath, on the Lord's day? Is it an insult to God?" What they were doing was very much insulting to God on the inside, both in the flesh as well as to the Father. Of course, they didn't answer. This man with a withered hand had no doubt gone to the synagogue to pray for a miracle, to pray that God would give him a chance to be able to work again. And Jesus had a holy urgency. Come up here and stand before everyone. He wanted everyone to be able to see that this man had a face. He wasn't just somebody else. And looking at them intently, seeing their hearts, he said, "Stretch out your hand." You can almost see Michelangelo's creation scene happening anew. As the hands are out, "Stretch out your hand," Jesus says. And the man immediately, courageously obeys. And it's in that stretching, beyond what he was physically capable of at that time, that the miracle itself happened. Yes, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In fact, it's the purpose of the Sabbath. It's the purpose of the Sabbath to save life, and in sacrificing ourselves for others, to have life to the full. Just how ugly was the soul of Jesus's opponents, that they became enraged rather than happy for this man, and they were discussing what they would do to Jesus, and we know how that would turn out. Jesus was willing to face the suffering down precisely in order to do good, precisely in order to save life, in order to help us stretch out our hands and our hearts and our lives to the salvation that God was stretching out to us, so that we in faith might do what we would find impossible in order to reach out and grasp him who has human arms precisely to embrace us. St. Paul talks about this same mystery in his first letter to the Colossians. Remember the setting. St. Paul is in jail in Rome. Couldn't get to the church in Colossae physically, so he was going to write them. And he was writing them because they were trying to distort the gospel that had been preached there in a Gnostic way. And the Gnostics were teaching that Jesus didn't have a body because God couldn't take on something evil like matter, they claimed. And so Jesus was just more or less a phantasm. It was the eternal Son of God with what just seemed to be a hologram of a body. And therefore, there was no such thing as the crucifixion. Jesus didn't die or save us on a cross. He didn't create any sacraments because he wouldn't use something evil to do good, and bread and wine are evil because they're material. Our bodies are evil. There will be no resurrection of the body. On and on and on and on and on. And so St. Paul, talking about the sufferings that he was doing for all the church, gives a purpose to it, which has multiple steps. This is, I think, one of the most important passages in all of sacred scripture, if we grasp it. "I rejoice in my sufferings," he begins this section. We should just pause there for a second. I rejoice in my suffering. Ultimately, God wants to give us the grace that each of us might similarly be able to find joy in what the world would find life stripping. I rejoice in my sufferings. Why? For your sake. He recognized that his sufferings matter and that they're actually going to help. And he says, and this is an important part for us to get because it's often mistranslated. "And I am filling up in my flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, the afflictions of Christ, on behalf of his body, the church." Most of the time when we hear this, we hear that there's something objectively lacking in the sufferings of Christ, that we ourselves have got to fill up. Sometimes we can look at the cross and say, with some truth but not full truth, that Jesus was assuming the sufferings of all his mystical body there, and so we're doing our part in what he himself offered. But sometimes we can look at it as if his sufferings were somehow insufficient. That is not what St. Paul was describing, any objective lacuna in his sufferings. What he was saying is there's a subjective lacuna. I am making up in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's suffering. That each of us, in our own flesh, have got to allow Christ's sufferings in. That we ourselves have got to embrace his cross and the fruits of that cross, and the suffering that the cross involves out of love, for us to come to full stature. And that's why St. Paul says, I'm rejoicing in my suffering, because I am becoming more like Christ for your sake. And he's doing all of this, he says, to bring to completion for you the Word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and generations past. He's going to start playing around with one of his long-winded, no-period sentences. He keeps talking about this mystery. Hidden from ages, generations past, manifested to the saints, whom God has made known the riches of his glory, the mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? Listen, you Gnostics. What is that mystery? It's Christ in you. Yes, not only has God come down onto earth and taken on humanity for real, but he's going to take on your humanity. He's going to enter into you, just like he's entering into me. And the way that that mystery is going to be fulfilled is through suffering. So that through that union, that yoking with Christ on the cross, his life might come to full fruition. Because it's only through Good Friday that we will experience within our own flesh Jesus is having risen from the dead for us and in us. It is Christ in you. This is the mystery. This is the purpose. And that's why he says, we do all that we do, admonishing everyone when they're running away from the cross, teaching everyone with all wisdom. And remember what he says about the cross to the Corinthians, right? Power and the wisdom of God. Teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? Third verb. So that we might present everyone perfect in Christ. He wanted the Colossians to learn this scientia crucis, as St. Edith Stein would say. This knowledge of Christ crucified. Because that's the way we become perfect to full stature in Christ. This is why I'm laboring and struggling in accord with the exercise of his triumphant power working within me. And then he just describes a little bit his own chertamen, his own good fight, his own agonizing, his own struggle. Struggle's not strong enough here. Battle is better. I want you to know how great a battle I'm having for you and for those in Laodicea. We remember Laodicea, right? The lukewarm in Laodicea, whom Christ wanted to be either hot or cold. Paul was suffering for them, that your hearts may be encouraged and brought together in this type of sacrificial love. So that you might have the richness of a short understanding for the knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. So at the beginning of this week, as we remember the sufferings on this day, especially those who ran toward towers or said on airlines above Pennsylvania, let's roll. The many others who stood for hours to give blood or ministered to the sick or to the mourning. As we look back at that type of suffering, we recognize it's worth it, and it makes us far more like Christ. Todd Beamer was following Christ on United 93, as were others, so were so many firemen. So many of those whose names we'll never know until the end of time who would have done heroic things within those towers, within the Pentagon. today as we come forward, let's call to mind what we have to suffer. If it's a physical illness, if it's another sister who gets under our skin, if it's a spiritual suffering that we're going through a dark night, if we're suffering because we still haven't yet forgiven others and we're beating ourselves up about it, whatever it be, may we, through St. Paul's prayers, come to rejoice in these sufferings so that Christ's power and wisdom might come to full stature in us, and so that we can become his supple instruments to help him come to full stature in others. This mystery, Christ in you, comes to its literal fulfillment when Christ places himself in you in Holy Communion. Let's get ready.